This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric, and Dennis is on vacation, so I'm flying solo on this first program of 2023. However, live... and not in studio, but remote due to the magic of technology, is our friend Wes Bryan of IT Pro TV. Wes, you're there?
I sure am, Eric. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to your listening audience.
Yes, to you too. Yeah, to you too, sir. It's great to see you.
Definitely. Great to see you too. I'm watching you on Facebook in the background. Everybody should be tuning in.
Yeah, the Facebook thing is kind of a weird thing that goes on out there. It's Zuckerberg kind of clamps it down because, of course, there's some of the music that we play is just, of course, an issue. But we won't go there. So Wes is here from IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV trains people in technology. And he's been on the show many times last year, and we're happy to continue that with him. We want to talk about Rackspace and LastPass and disaster recovery and what happened in those two cloud companies. What's your feeling on that there, Wes?
Oh, man. You know, November and December, 'tis the season to apparently get data breaches. Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's a very interesting concept because I know that your show, and I know you probably said this to many a times of the listeners, that, hey, we need to put information into the cloud. You know, and one of the things that we can do is, and it's not that easy. I know I make it sound easy. It certainly isn't that easy. But we can offset some of the responsibility to the host, you know, whoever's hosting the service.
Right.
And let's face it, Rackspace is a huge company.
Yep.
And they are exactly what you recommend. But then you have a big company like this, and they experience a major outage, you know, in a service. And not just a single service, a service that, as I'm sure many of you are aware of, is the bloodline of a company, right? Mm-hmm. The host exchange service, right? So it's email.
Yep.
It's how they communicate with, you know, others. So kind of just to talk a little bit about what the incident was, right? So on December 2nd, they experienced just this crazy outage, and then it was in their hosted exchange environment. Now, what that means, let's take the jargon out of it. That's an email service.
Mm-hmm.
And they host it. You don't have to have the hardware, the service, or the servers and all the network gear. You pay them a monthly subscription. Well, and on Friday of December 2nd, users were reporting that they couldn't connect. They couldn't connect at all.
Right.
So Rackspace reports that they proactively shut down the environment to avoid any kind of further issues. And then they say that they've experienced, you learn that it's some kind of security incident.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another kicker too, is that it was 2 weeks before they even started the recovery process.
Yep.
Not the service. You still don't have access to your service.
Right.
So, you know, just to take a stop right here and a pause, you know, here these companies, and there's many small companies too. It's not just large enterprises, certainly the large enterprises do, but it's also a bunch of small companies too, and they no longer have access to all their contacts, you know. What this kind of affects is what's known as the PST files in an email database. Now, technical jargon, what that means is that single file, if you're an email user, contains all your messages, all your settings, and it's stored in another file, which has all these files collectively together, and that's what people didn't have access to. So imagine you've got this deadline that you know is tomorrow, and your business is selling whatever this might be, and now they can no longer have access to their contacts, right?
Right.
So the company claims that they turned around on the 18th, again, many weeks later.
Two weeks later.
That they claim that they restored it in an isolated environment. Now, what that means is you still don't have access to it. And the next thing they did is that they encouraged admins to configure and set up their accounts inside of the Microsoft 365 environment because this directly affects Outlook. Well, that's not just as easy as it sounds. Again, I know I come on and I'm like, yeah, just adopt the cloud. Let's put everything in the cloud. But there's a lot of thought that goes into that. There is a learning curve. And for a small company, they don't have that money.
No. We had so many people calling us. Now, we don't recommend using Rackspace to our customers, but they have maybe already had it, and our help desk was deluge. And we had calls from people who weren't even customers saying, help me, help me. We're like, we can't. I mean, we can try to get you from the Rackspace mess over to 365, but guess what? None of your past emails are coming over. They've got them all on the cloud.
That's right. And it boils down to another thing that I know that we have talked about, and I know that you and Dennis talk about. It comes down to patch management, right? There were known vulnerabilities. Microsoft has CVEs. These are called common vulnerabilities and exposures.
Right.
Again, we're going to decide that as like a classified ad for what they know is bad, and you can reference it. So it was out there. But at the end of the day, Rackspace, they created this type of automation environment where they opened up all the databases, they checked all the files, and then they handed that information over to CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike, at the end of the day, said there's no evidence that the threat actors were able to get access to the information. But even that alone, though, companies put their trust into a company like that, and then that trust alone can be the end of the company. So it is important, And so to bring that back over to disaster recovery, it is important that you maybe do talk to somebody, to where you don't, with that proverb, don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? And even if you do use something like Microsoft, maybe look into what a small little platform that maybe you don't even use, but we've got things like software defined networking where you can apply a file template and you can spin stuff up instantly. And even if it's like a dial-up line back in the days when all the broadband went out, at least you still have the dial-up line. At least you got some kind of service. So
yeah. In the case of what we do for our customers, we would implement a mail portal so that if you were a Rackspace customer using their hosted exchange and you used our disaster recovery tools, you would have had a backup, all right, backup of your data, and you would have been able to go spin up through our portal and send and receive mail. But you got to put that in place, right? You can't. And the problem is when people, and so you don't know us long enough, you don't know me long enough to know our opinion on the cloud. So your comments about, hey, put it in the cloud and it's going to, be easier for you. In my opinion, all you're doing is putting your eggs in somebody else's basket, like you said, and you think you're better off. I would contend you're no better off. I can give you example after example after example after example of these other companies, these server companies that just don't do the job they're supposed to be doing. And this is the example, right? So these guys have been down for almost a month still. They're not even going to spin it back up.
Right.
And then
at the end of the day, the customer just loses out and they just shrug their shoulders. Yeah, so I can definitely see what you mean there.
And then think about 365, right? So go to 365. I don't know about you, but I could predict this happening there too with probably 60-70% certainty we're going to see a massive 365 outage. Why? Come on.
It happens. Absolutely. It's not a matter of if. It's just a matter of when.
Exactly. So you got to put in now more expensive mitigation tools like DR and the stuff that we offer to protect yourself from the cloud that promised you they would never be down.
Right. And here's one of the things that I don't like SLAs in the cloud. So I do agree with you, is that a SLA doesn't mean you're going to actually get any money back. You're just going to get a credit. You're going to get store credit.
Right.
But you're not going to get the reputation back that your company lost because they relied on you. You provided a service, but at the end of the day, if my company fails, you can only give me a few $100, $1,000 of credit for your platform.
Or you missed out on that big sale. You missed out on that big presentation. You missed out on that because your email wasn't working.
Just the reputation alone. Think about that, Eric. Yeah. I mean, brand reputation alone.
Right.
So imagine if you aren't Rackspace, and this isn't your fault, but the name that you have is a result of that, you know, that's well known. And because of this, nobody's going to come back. Or you're going to have to do much more work that you did before in order to build that reputation and that trust back. And that's if it ever happens.
Because, Rackspace keeps saying, oh, this hosted exchange aspect of our cloud business is only 1%. Well, gee. Well, if you're using their services for the other 99%, do you think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing there? Because they sure didn't do the patching they were supposed to be doing on the CVEs we all knew about going back years. I mean, literally, we discussed these issues. The FBI was helping people protect exchange servers, for crying out loud. So this was well known, and they kind of deserved it. So then let's talk about LastPass. We actually have had some customer callers call in about LastPass. That's another cloud. They have had their issues with breaches themselves. They basically manage passwords, and now the entire vault is out, and the bad guys have it. And what do you think about what's going there?
I'm moving away from LastPass, first of all, not using it anymore. So December 22nd, there was an announcement that, again, here's one of these things where it's December 22nd.
Right.
And the incident happened on November 30th. Now, for the people that are listening, just because it was discovered on November 30th, that doesn't mean that that's when it happened. It could have been a month, weeks before, because, you know, think about advanced persistent threats. They try to gain access and then stay stealthy.
Right.
So LastPass is a major password management platform, and they did report that they had a breach. The result, we have what we call, you mentioned it, we have these password vaults, and these password vaults are encrypted passwords for everything that we use LastPass for. So they store all of those passwords in that vault. But the problem is now those vaults, those password vaults are now, even though they're encrypted, they're in the hands of the bad people, the threat actors.
Right.
They were able to get these copies out. Now the good thing is those vaults themselves, they have very, very strong encryption on them, and LastPass themselves, they do not hold your master password. They don't store that anywhere. So that's at least something that's a cushion, if you will.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that in time they won't be able to break those, just reverse engineer those. So one of the things that they're probably going to do is they're probably going to look at all the high-profile accounts, CEOs, C-level people, you know, politicians and stuff, and they're going to start to try to brute force those. And then they're going to look for, if you have an enterprise account, they're also going to look at any account that's flagged as a LastPass administrator. But again, these are like the whaling attacks that we talk about in social engineering.
Yep.
We're looking for the big fish, right?
Yep.
And so what I would encourage people to do if they are using LastPass right now, log into your LastPass and change your master password right away. And it is a pain, and I'm having to do it myself, go through and change every single one of the passwords in LastPass. And then the final thing is, move away from LastPass. So you're kind of doing spring cleaning, and then you're moving away. And there are other alternatives. There are open source alternatives out there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give any recommendations right now because I'm still researching it myself. Because there again, back to your point in the cloud, Eric, you're making a lot of sense here. Is that you put your this is a big one, because this type of trust affects the world in a way that is, it's different. Now we have now we have a business that they hold literally like every password that for what, like 26 million users or so.
Right.
And now the threat actors have it potentially on the dark web going up for the highest bidder while they're also potentially using it as well for their own means.
Right. And then when you talk about dark web, I mean, this could be state sponsored dark web stuff because they're going to, like you said, all those whales are out there. They have, the threat actors have access to who the customers were, so they know who to target. So again, you got to ask yourself, I mean, cloud, no cloud. The point is, why do we trust that just a company is going to be any better than anything else? I mean, have we not lived long enough to realize that these technologies, if a password company can't stop a hacker from breaking in, using a password to break in, by the way, to get to their stuff, maybe we should think things a little differently. Maybe there's a different approach than sticking all your stuff in the cloud, because I can tell you, my 3x5 cards, not going to hack them.
Right. Yeah, most definitely. And there's other things that that many of these cybersecurity gurus that are brilliant, you know, they're looking at ways to come up with a decentralized claim-based authentication. And again, it's just a big way to say, hey, no one person's going to be in control of the secrets that control access to your account.
Right.
So they are looking at other things, but it's still kind of relatively new. And when you say decentralized, that adds, anytime anything's decentralized, it adds some kind of complexity. So we have to see what's coming. But I encourage just do, like we've talked about, I know you tell all your users, basic password hygiene, don't reuse passwords. Change them, even if you have to change them every 60 days. You don't have to change them every 30 days. Just don't reuse them. Make sure that you're using MFA. I have MFA on my phone, and I have it for every single account. You know what? Sometimes it is, like we say in security, you raise security, you also raise the stress of trying to get into your accounts. But you lower security, you ease, the ease of use goes up, and then it's less secure. So at the end of the day, make sure you have MFA on any account that you have that you cannot afford to lose the information or do not want that information in somebody else's hands.
Very good advice, Wes. We do appreciate you joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. If you want more advice from a guy like Wes and his entire team over at IT Pro TV, go to our website at computertalkwithtab.com. There's a 30% off link. Check out their catalog. If you just want to change careers, become a better geek, go ahead and check out IT Pro TV. They do a very good job of explaining things and getting you ready to take the certifications or just getting you more understanding of how IT works. We need more geeks. We are way short of the number of geeks we need to support all you people. And the guys at IT Pro TV and gals do a great job of helping you understand technology.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on there, Eric, and happy new year, to you and the crew there at Computer Talk with Tab, and as well to your listening audience. I had the chance to go up to the Boston area, so I got me some clams and some New England clam chowder. Life is good.
Awesome.
You guys have a great new year. Hopefully we can talk soon.
We'll talk again, Wes. Talk to you later. All right. Bye-bye. All right. That's Wes Bryan, IT Pro TV. And we want to thank him for that. We're going to step out for a quick break. Three lines open for you. 8-6. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm flying solo. Dennis is on vacation. And if you missed anything during the show, you can always go to the podcast. It's over at WTIC.com or the ComputerTalkWithTab.com site. And you can subscribe to it so you can listen to Computer Talk anytime, anywhere you want, no matter where you are. You can do it from the Odyssey app. So let's go back to your calls. We're going to go to Len in Burlington first here. Hit the button twice. What's going on, Len?
Good morning.
Morning.
For years, when my laptop was in sleep mode, all I have to do is touch the screen or touch any key, and it would come right out of it. This week, when I do that, nothing happens. So I'm doing I have to hold the power button down for up to 60 seconds, and then it does a complete reboot. And then after that, everything is just perfectly normal. So I don't know what happened to it.
You're running Windows 10?
Yes.
All right. So lots of issues here with this particular topic. Are you up to the latest version of Windows 10?
Yeah, I always put in the updates when they're available.
So do you know, though, what flavor? Are you running the latest the latest flavor of Windows 10 22H2?
That I'm not sure about.
Go to the about down in the left. Go down to the bottom left hand corner and where you type.
I don't have my computer with me right now. It's still sleeping. Maybe I should give it some coffee.
Yeah. Well, step one, I would tell you, is to try to update it to the latest version of Windows 10 22H2 is what you should be running nowadays on Windows 10. You might be running an old flavor of it. Now, there's also power-saving settings, and there's a ton of troubleshooting that we can list for you to try to figure out why it's not working anymore. But it's there's so many options. So have you gone into your power saving settings?
Yes, I did that, and I had it set to high performance, so I took it back into neutral, and that didn't seem to make any difference.
No, that's a different thing. So your power that would be when it's awake. You're telling it to perform highly, which is something I would do too. That's not the issue. It's just like wake up on what is the question. You know, if it can't detect the screen or it can't detect you're touching the trackpad, that's an issue. And obviously the trackpad works after you use it, right?
Yes.
So something in that sleep mode is not detecting your interfacing with it. And that's why if you get to the latest flavor, I think that the quickest thing to do, Len, is to update to the 22H2 if you're not there and we can't tell because it's sleeping.
Okay.
But I would contend it may not be as up to date as you think. You may have set updates on, but sometimes those major updates don't get applied.
Okay.
What else can you try here? I mean, there is so many different things. I can put some links up here for you that you can try. They'll be on the Facebook page and Twitter page first. And there's 10 different ways you can try to wake your computer up from sleep within Windows 10. That might be handy for you, but numerous things you have to try. Something's broken, but if you do the update on the operating system, that probably, I would hope, would correct it.
Okay,
but just to give you an idea, mouse or keyboard issues, permissions changes, but you wouldn't have made any permissions changes, right? You wouldn't have modified those things.
No, this just happened abruptly about 3 or 4 days ago.
Yep, it could be display driver issues. So here's the other issue. Something could have updated and broken it, like my watch. My watch said, hey, update me. It's exactly the thing that happened, and now it's dead, right?
yeah, right.
Welcome to technology. And the problem is trying to figure out which of the thing is causing the issue. You can also turn off fast startup. So go look up that in the control panel as to turn off fast startup and see if that helps you. But who knows which of the things, like if we give you, I'm going to give you this link, you know, which of the things you try actually works of the 10 is just the problem with IT and the problem with Microsoft and the operating system and updates in general. So that's why I'm telling you to make sure you're at 22H2 first before you even try the link that we're going to send out there for you. Okay.
Okay. And you have a minute for another question?
Well, we should actually be out by now. I think Carolyn's sleeping. I got to wake her, put her up on hibernation. We're already late. So I don't think I can put you back on hold if you want, because we got to go to news.
No, that's okay. I'll call again another time.
Thanks. Sounds good. Yeah, good luck with that. We'll put the link up for you right away, Len.
I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome. All right, so we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. This is Computer Talk with Tab. And coming up at 11 o'clock, Dr. Alessi will be in for the new year. I'm Eric. Dennis is on vacation. The first program of 2023. And thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Without you, I'd be talking about my kids. Dennis talks about his cats. Let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Chris in Weathersfield. Hey, what's happening, Chris? Chris, you there?
Yes. Happy New Year.
Oh, Happy New Year to you.
Is there any truth or close to truth that there's been a breakthrough with quantum computing that can affect encrypted security?
It's funny you say that. I did read, I think I saw something about that's happening with quantum computers. They're much more powerful, so they can do more. And I did read something. It does pop into my head. I don't know where I read it. But it is possible that I have seen that yes, the quantum technology is starting to really pick up with computers, and that would definitely impact the ability to decrypt an encrypted item.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is pretty huge. The problem is not a lot of people have access to quantum computers.
Yeah, I know, but that's a good thing. But it's huge from security.
Yep.
And that's why, if you heard it, then that makes me feel even a little bit better, because I thought, well, this could be fake anything.
Right.
But
quantum computing is starting to make some serious inroads, so we're going to see some amazing good things and some bad things.
Okay, well, second thing, did I just hear you say previously that there still are ways that you can do dial-up to internet?
No, I didn't say that. Those days are probably pretty long gone, but there might be ways out there. You could actually check out Port 1 Internet. They may still do dial-up internet. That's how they started, where you would put an old-fashioned modem that would squawk and connect, and you would connect pretty slowly. But for the time, it was cutting edge. So they may offer still dial-up. Why would you want to do that, Chris?
I guess being an old-fashioned geek.
Ah, yeah, you're hearkening back to the old days of the modem squawk. It's like birds chirping to geeks.
Yeah, I just thought that was, if there is one, I'd like to know about it.
It'd be useless for you, pretty much, though, Chris. I mean, if there's any kind of internet service that's available, dial-up speeds, most of your internet pages or web pages are not going to be able to deliver anything that you're going to enjoy at those speeds.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, and I'll try to find that article, Chris, because I do recall seeing something about that.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I'm sure Mike G's already looking for it as well.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the technology is amazing. I was reading about drones delivering stuff to people, like in Australia, and then there was drones that are in Texas. So, you know, we have this issue, as you all know, and I've brought it up a million times with Amazon, right? So, you make an Amazon order in my neighborhood, and you're literally, it's just truck after truck after truck after truck after truck, and they're delivering whatever they're delivering. And it can't be efficient. It can't be good for the roads, can't be good for the cost, but they're making so much money on whatever we're buying from them that, you know, they're able to send all these trucks out, this army of trucks. Imagine if they could just hover over your house and drop your package from 20 feet in the air into your front yard. I mean, it'd make it easier for the package thieves to steal it, but it would be less traffic on the road with all those Amazon trucks. So they're out there. Actually, I'll try to find those articles too. It was very fascinating that there's companies out there that are really pushing that drone delivery. And everyone kind of thought, I mean, Amazon talked about it like a decade ago. We kind of laughed about it. But that's coming. And if you look in Australia, they even show a map of all the drone deliveries that are happening in the Australia area of just people buying stuff and having it dropped in their front yard. I mean, why not, I guess? I don't know. Embrace the technology. Let's go to Ron in New Britain next. What's happening, Ron?
Good morning. And this time I'm not going to give you guys a laugh like last time.
Okay.
About the battery life lasting 5 hours, and you guys got a big laugh on that.
Sorry.
But I have a question. I have a problem with Wi-Fi when I go on vacation.
Yeah.
And I heard that you can purchase a wireless router and you can carry it with you. And I was wondering if you could fill me in on what's the best alternative to do something like that.
Well, do you have a cell phone, Ron?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so most cell phone services offer you the ability to turn your phone into its own hotspot. Have you tried that?
Right, I have that. Excuse me, I have that available, but as much as I use the Wi-Fi when I'm on vacation, it takes a lot of the power of the hotspot out, and it creates a problem. So if I could get a wireless router and purchase Wi-Fi here in America or what have you, in the lower 48, and take it with me. I was wondering if I had those alternatives.
Well, depending on the countries you go to, your phone may or may not connect to their network. So if you're going to England, I mean, I've never been to these countries, but I've heard of other folks talking about it. Can't get my wife to get out of the country at all, but that's another problem. So if you want to go ahead and have cellular service in like England, well, you just can't bring an American service necessarily and have it work. I mean, you need to make sure it'll be compatible with the cell services that are in those countries. So what you would have to do is buy a hotspot there, right? And then
the fact is that they have T-Mobile, and I have T-Mobile, and it works perfect out there.
There you go.
And and it's really it's an island in the Caribbean that's connected to to the United States. They have everything.
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
The United States. Correct. That's correct.
Yeah. So you're going to.
I'm up in the mountains.
Okay. Well, again, whatever the signal is, Puerto Rico has infrastructure issues, as you know, but you could definitely bring, you know, a T-Mobile hotspot and hope it works. If your phone works, then the hotspot should work that you're going to buy from T-Mobile. You're going to pay now a second charge, right? You're going to pay for your cell, and now you're going to pay for the hotspot. And I would contend if you just did your cell phone hotspot, it's the same thing as the access point you're going to buy from T-Mobile. So it's six of one, half a dozen of another. And you only have one bill versus two.
But I can't purchase, like, a particular router and buy Wi-Fi from T-Mobile, maybe? Because they have T-Mobile over there. Towers work fine.
Well, that's what I'm saying, Ron. So you're not going to need to buy a Wi-Fi router. You're going to buy a cellular hotspot. You're going to buy a cellular access point. So you call T-Mobile and say, hey, I'm a customer. I want to get a hotspot. They're going to sell you a little device that you're going to place, and that'll be your wireless router when you're in Puerto Rico.
And excellent.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I'll do that. And I'll talk to T-Mobile about that and see how far I get with them. And hopefully that worked for me. And it won't interfere with my phone service. That's what I'm afraid of, using the hotspot on my phone and then, you know, not having the whatever, you know, for my phone to work constantly. Because sometimes I go out there for over a month.
Well, to stop rubbing it in, that's pretty nice. So basically, your phone should work even if it acts as a hotspot. But in this case, you're going to call a T-Mobile store in Puerto Rico, and you're going to say, hey, do you guys sell hotspots? And do you think it'll work in that mountainous area where you're enjoying your time there? That's what you should be doing. Don't call T-Mobile corporate. Call a T-Mobile store in Puerto Rico.
They have one about 15 minutes away from my house over there.
Yeah,
yeah. So everything's all set. I thank you so much. I appreciate your courtesy.
Yeah, no problem, Ron. Thank you for calling in.
Yep. Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yeah, you should be able to, though, use your phone and as a hotspot, both. They can do both. There's no reason you can't do both on the one device. Let's go to Phil in Farmington and see what he's got cooking. I got to push the button twice. Joe, you got to fix that. Go ahead, Phil. What's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
Question about QuickBooks, I guess. I've been using it for a long time, and now I've been doing the desktop part, and they're trying to push it to the cloud. And I was wondering if there's other options, because I, you know, became subscribed last year, and it was like $300 and $25 a year. Now it's up to almost $600.
Yeah.
And then they're doing the yearly subscription instead of I used to get it, and it would last for a couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, so it just seems like they're... And you get used to it, and I've been using it for 25 years, and then they keep going up on the price, and they're doing the new subscription thing. So I'm wondering thoughts about it and any options.
So we have lots of clients who use QuickBooks. We use it in ourselves. You can buy the software once and purchase it and own it. Of course, you need to keep updating it because there's always new requirements for that. When you get into the cloud, however, yes, you're going to see them keep cranking and cranking and cranking. Oh, you didn't pay your QuickBooks bill, Phil? Well, no access for you, right? So, you know, having it local on your own computer is still possible and still doable. And I couldn't talk to you about the price. If there's enough demand for a thing, then there's a price for a thing, right? But the difference being, if you have it on your local machine and you don't pay the bill, guess what? Your QuickBooks still works. If you have it in the cloud and you don't pay the bill, well, you may not have access and you might need access. And they're like, well, no QuickBooks for you until you pay your bill. This is the other issue of turning these types of things into utilities. You know, if you don't pay your power bill, well, no power for you.
Yeah, which is frustrating.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is.
So you say it is still possible to get, because they say I have to do the subscription, yearly subscription, if I'm doing it on my desktop.
That doesn't sound correct.
Does not sound correct.
No, I would bet you right now, and I haven't done it lately, you could walk into a Staples and find a copy of QuickBooks.
Okay, because that's what I used to do, and that's what I thought was available. But when I talked to him a couple times, it's like they're, you know, again, pushing me and ultimately pushing me towards it. And sometimes I'm not available to the cloud. I don't have access to some of the places I am. I just feel having it on my laptop and not in a cloud is better for me.
And that's fine. That's your prerogative, and I totally have no problem with that, right?
Okay,
It does exist. I can even try to find a link for you as well, but I bet you walk into Staples this afternoon and you'll find a copy of QuickBooks.
Perfect. I will do that. I thank you for your time.
You're welcome, Phil. Good luck.
Yeah. Yep, thanks. Have a good one. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi's going to be in with Healthy Rounds, and he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. So we found the article that Chris was referring to. It actually is a ZDNet article talking about quantum computing and what's happening with encryption. So we'll put that link up there for you guys to check out. And then the drone thing, I read something about Australia doing it, but the one that I remember seeing the map of, it turns out it was Dublin, Ireland. And if you just look at, they actually show you the path, all the paths of all the drones that are making these deliveries in Ireland. It's crazy. It's just so many people are using it. They're also using drones to deliver stuff to, like, Domino's pizza deliveries in Georgia. I mean, they won't deliver the drinks, thank goodness, but they will deliver your pizza. They'll drop the pizza out of the sky right in front of you. And you just can't make it up. And, of course, Amazon is delivering its own orders by drone in Texas and California. So it's coming. And we all know drones work, period. So it's funny, you got these, all these folks that have already purchased all these vans and they're going to be driving around, and before you know it, they're literally displaced by an autonomous vehicle that you simply program and tell it to go ahead and deliver your stuff. Probably, I don't know about how powerful it has to be or how big of a package it can drop or whether or not they've got the insurance to be sure that they don't drop it on your head, because that's no fun. But I think we're going to start seeing, I just can imagine. So it's year 2023, and I talk about all the Amazon trucks in my neighborhood and how ridiculously annoying it is. And by the year 2026, we're going to be like, man, these drones are just so loud. I can't sleep at night. Just imagine the buzzing that'll be happening or whatever you're going to deal with, because drones are also not quiet. And we'll be like, oh, it's so convenient, though, to have your pharmacy prescription dumped in your front yard. it's just classic, you know, that's going to be, I can't predict what's going to happen, but who knows what's going to happen. So lines are wide open, 860-522-9842 till the top of the hour. As we wait for your calls, we can talk about, you know, ransomware in the cloud and what's going on with these companies like LastPass and Rackspace. You know, I always get a lot of criticism for my opinion on the cloud. I can't tell you how much criticism I get for it, but the cloud just continues to give the examples over and over again. There's plenty of great things the cloud does, right? You're going to go ahead and watch your movies in the cloud. You're going to go to the internet. That's the cloud. No problem. But now when you stored your passwords in the cloud, you thought that was okay, right? You thought that was a good thing. No, clearly it's not. Even West said he's not going to recommend LastPass anymore. But does that really mean you should, is the next password host the next one you go to? Or do you realize, well, these guys have issues. These cloud companies have issues. Rackspace says, oh, you know, the exchange issue that happened in the cloud only affected 1% of our business. However, guys, just so you know, 30,000 companies or 30,000 people, because there's individual mailboxes attached to that, 30,000 were impacted by this. And so you got to ask yourself, well, wait a minute. So what are you not doing to protect what other cloud services you're offering, right? Whether it be, who knows what they're offering on the Rackspace cloud that is either not being updated, not being protected, not being backed up, not having a disaster recovery approach. Because as Wes talked about, Rackspace didn't even get started with the recovery for 2 weeks. So basically, the company said, "Go ahead and pay me for email. We'll be there for you." And then when we're not, we'll give you a little credit for not being there. But you couldn't use your email or couldn't get access to your data. They're still down, by the way, for a month. So they're now just recently supposedly offering people's access to get their data back. What kind of disaster recovery was not put in a company like that? Or how do they operate and not care about 30,000 impacted people to wait 2 weeks? You have no DR in place, Rackspace, to get this up and running? No, they didn't. Their advice was to go to 365, which was ridiculous advice. And they didn't have enough people to support all the calls coming in to ask how to do that configuration to 365. So you had a ton of just screwed up tenants and just a mess of people not understanding how 365 works. And that was their solution. I'm sorry. So that company didn't prepare for this instance. What is the other things they're not preparing for? That's that question I have. And then you get to ask your question about anything you put in the cloud. I've given you so many examples of cloud outages. The one that really is the one that drives me nuts is the one that happened, I mean, a year and a half ago, which was a cancer software that was out there and in the cloud and went down. And the cancer software was unavailable to cancer doctors, including Yale New Haven, including some of our clients. They could not perform their work. And the solution for the cancer software that was in the cloud was to have their people run out servers, local servers, to their customers. Yes, I kid you not. And then run the local servers so that the cancer doctors could do their work. Well, that's kind of nutty, huh? Then you fast forward a little bit, and the cancer doctor wants to go ahead and get cybersecurity insurance. And the cybersecurity insurance says, no, you were using that cloud software. This software just popped into my head again. The company's named Elekta. And I'll put the link up there for you if you want to read the story again. But the poor guy couldn't get affordable cybersecurity insurance because the people he paid for his software in the cloud had a breach. He didn't have a breach. The people he paid for the software in the cloud had the breach, and he couldn't afford cyber insurance. Ask yourself, what do you have in the cloud that when it's breached, you won't be able to insure anymore because the companies you're hoping for are there? We had the other company here in Glastonbury that had their issue with their websites being impacted. They put it all on the Google Cloud, and Google talks about how they can do instant recovery. Well, you can't do instant recovery of thousands and thousands of encrypted web pages, websites, right? That was called Final Site, and that's a Glastonbury company. So you're looking at the cloud. You're saying you're offloading your procedures and support to the cloud. All they are, all you're doing is moving your problems to somebody else's servers and hoping that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I give you example after example after example. And guess what? You're still responsible. They're not responsible. You're responsible. I don't know how many examples I have to give you of that either, because everyone thinks that they move their problems to the cloud. The cloud's responsible, right? No, clearly that's not the case. You lost the business. You weren't able to make the sale. You weren't able to get your email. You weren't able to practice medicine. You weren't able to explain to students where they were supposed to be. You're responsible. Keep that in mind. I want to thank you guys for joining me on this Saturday morning. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next. I want to thank Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV for joining me live. We always enjoy his visits with us, and we'll also have another visit with him in the near future, I'm sure. Everything has been posted by Mike G over at our Facebook and Twitter sites, and we'll get that over to Computer Talk with Tab probably in the next day or two when Dennis returns. And everything's available on podcasts. So go to the WTIC Facebook page, subscribe to our podcast from wherever you get podcasts, and you can listen to our geeky discussions whenever you like. See you next Saturday. And he'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, so stick around for that. We'll be right back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.